The following message is brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton.
And so when EJ said, 10 years, it's all about what God's plan, and God has a plan, right? That's why you're here this morning. And he has a plan, and we don't have to know every step of that plan to know he has a plan, and it's a good one. In fact, it's better that we don't know. Because I can guarantee you what God was speaking to Sarah and I 20 years ago or more, it doesn't look like what I thought, because my capacity to understand what he was doing was here back then. And now it's better, but I still can't understand all that God has for his people in this region. But I can tell you it's a good plan. And it's a redemptive plan, right? And it's a plan that has eternal implications. Amen? And that's what matters, right? Because, the reason Egypt gets choked up, the reason I get choked up, is it's because of people, right? It's people's hearts and him wanting to use you because he loves you. He cares for you. He put his own spirit inside of you because he called you to be kings and priests, right? Yeah, that's what the Bible says. And so it's funny because, it's always interesting to watch how the Lord works, how he puts us together and plans things, because my message today is on the ecclesia, the church. That's the Greek. That's the church. And so I'm going to preach that. You guys are happy I preach fast, so listen fast. Father, thank you for this day, Father. Thank you for your word, Father, your anointed word, Father. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, the spirit of truth that leads us into truth, leads us into your wisdom, the wisdom that's from above, Father. We need your wisdom as we navigate these waters of this world, Father. Father, we are spirit-led. We are not driven. We are led. And Father, thank you for leading us to the good places you'd have us be, equipped for every good work that you've set before us. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen? Yes. Amen. So, in Matthew chapter 16, I'm going to read verses 13 through 18. I'm in the NLT. It says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do the people say that the Son of Man is? Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. Then he asked them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Verse 18. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. Amen. You see, Jesus was telling him, look, I'm about to open a new age. So you've understand tabernacles, you've understood, the temple. You've understood the priest, the Levitical order. You've understood the law. But I'm about to pass through that age and bring the redemptive blood of my son on the scene so that my spirit can live inside of you. You see, the Holy of Holies was a place that only the priest could go, and he had to do a lot of stuff to even get there. All he's asking you to do now is believe in the Son Jesus, receive his Holy Spirit, and now you are the tabernacle of the Holy of Holies. You are the Holy of Holies. You're the Holy Spirit temple right here. He lives inside of you, right? So that what? So that you can be the church. You see, it's not a place. It's the people. It's you, right? Guys, we have been in a little small building. Praise God, didn't make any difference. You're the church. We've been in a tent, in a pasture, Jim. There was cow patties. Did that bother God? No, it didn't bother God, because the people were coming together, congregating, worshiping him. Amen? advancing his kingdom on this earth. Amen? And I know it was Eric Collar, Pastor Eric, who said, you know, God's plan is the church. That's his plan A, and there is no plan B. His plan is the church. His plan is you. Right? Now, do we congregate in a fellowship? Absolutely. The ecclesia. Let me give you that definition. I know how to say this one. I've studied this one. The ecclesia, an assembly of Christians gathered for worship in a religious meeting. A company of Christians. It says the whole body of Christians. It's the assembly of faithful Christians. So yes, you're the church, but we are the church together. We are the body of Christ, the ecclesia. It takes each and every one of us. You see? So we're brought together, right? Because here's the thing. I can't do something by myself. I'm only one part. We're going to open this up, guys. This is going to be a series. We're going to talk about the church in the coming weeks, about the body of Christ, each part doing its part, right? But I'm going to give us an overview today of why it's important to be connected, to be a part of the ecclesia. Because see, in the verse in Matthew, it says the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. But I've seen so many people pounding on the gates of hell and it's prevailing over them. Why? It's not because they're not saved. They're saved, but they're not connected to a body. They don't have the power of the whole church coming against that gate. Ah. So they're pounding on the gate. Praise God. I mean, God love them, but they're not connected. We've said it before. It'd be like a little liver trying to eke down the road. That liver can't go very far. It needs legs. It needs the head telling it where to go. See, you need the body. I need you. You need me. We need each other. You see, when Jesus was asking that question, it says it's in 1 Corinthians, it says, you can't even know Jesus is the Son of God except by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was speaking to these disciples before he was inside of them. He was speaking to them saying, this is the Son of God right here. This is your Messiah. They were understanding that. They were believing that. They were exercising their faith. But let me tell you something. Once Jesus died on that cross, once the veil was torn, and when they waited at Pentecost and the Holy Spirit fell, that's when the church was empowered. That's when the church age began. You see, and we have to have that Holy Spirit to walk in the power he's given us, advancing his kingdom. But it takes all of us. We were showing pictures. That's kind of fun, right? I look at all the different twists and turns and different things that God did. But it was always his power, his plan being worked out. Always. And see, that's what people, you know, it's interesting because we'll get in the way of God's plan. Have you ever done that? Yes, we've all done that. Get in the way of God's plan, and finally, you get tired of being tired, right? You get tired of being tired because your plan ain't working. But once you get plugged in to his plan, and his plan is the church, that's why it's important to be plugged in your church, people. That's why I'm thankful for you. If you're supposed to be here, praise God. If you're not, pray about where you're supposed to be. But you are supposed to be plugged in somewhere. You are. And of course, I'm saying a Bible-believing, truth-teaching body of Christ. There's a reason we say the words we say when Jim and Misty come up. Right? Because it's important to understand why you're here. And why are you here? Let's go to Ecclesiastes real quick. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Who wrote Ecclesiastes? Solomon. It says something in the Bible about Solomon, right? About being the wisest person, right? Yeah. Look what he says. I'm reading now the New King James. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. When the wisest man in the world says something like that, what was that? What was the thing on Listen? Like the it was an old advertisement. The investment guy, E.J. Hutton, or not E.J. E.J. Johnson. E.J. Johnson speaks. People listen. Do you remember that old commercial? Well, listen, when the wisest person on earth says that this is the conclusion of the whole matter, let's hear what he says. He says, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. Why are you here? Solomon told you. Let's read it in the Amplified. All has been heard. The end of the matter is fear God, revere and worship him, knowing that he is who he says he is, and keep his commandments, for this is the whole of man. Listen to this. The full original purpose of his creation, the object of God's providence, the root of character, the foundation of all happiness, the adjustments to all inharmonious circumstances. Have you had some of those? Yeah. And conditions under the sun, and the whole duty of every man. What that means, that fear God, is understand who he is. Understand that he's the man with the plan. We're going to follow his plan, right? We're going to do what he says. Amen? Okay. God's plan to bring all people back to himself involves the church. Now, it's the Holy Spirit that does it, but you have an active part to play. He chooses us to use us in a pre-designed group of people coming together for one purpose in a region with one head, which is Christ. Does that make sense? He pre-designed you to come together right now in this area for this time. And what a time it is, right? All right. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. Oh, I'm doing good. Hebrews 10, I'm going to read 19 to 25. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place, the Holy of Holies, because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, that's Jesus, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. His eternal promise, but also the temporal promises he's given you. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but we encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. How near are we to his return? Nearer than we were yesterday. Right? One day closer, every day. That's what Mr. Tom would always say. One day closer, one day closer. Well, guys, as I look around at the world, and I understand end times prophecies in Scripture, we are closer. So our purpose has to become even more focused on what we're supposed to do as a body of Christ. Number one, it says, don't neglect the fellowship of the brethren, right? And guys, and I'll be here to tell you, I don't take role. I don't say, oh, hey, how many times you been here? Hey, have you seen Pastor Monty Miss? Yep. And I was supposed to, by the way. Guys, I'm not worried about, oh, Dave, oh, whew, we got to have a sit down. I know. No. 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 But it is important to be here. It is. Now, it's important to be where you're supposed to be. Guys, if you miss, praise God. But you know what? When you're supposed to be here, be here. And I know it's tough sometimes. I do understand that. But it's important for you to be here in the body. Right? It was explained to me one time, it's likened to a marriage, right? Right? We are. We're the church. We're the bride of Christ, married. Well, here's the thing. Sarah and I could be married. But if I only saw her once a week, maybe. Maybe come home maybe every month, once maybe. We could still be married, but what kind of relationship would that be? It'd be a little rough, wouldn't it? Folks, as we come together in a body, okay, we encourage one another. We motivate one another, right, to our purpose. That's why I'm glad you're here. I'm so thankful you're here. You motivate me. You encourage me. I want to equip you for your work of your ministry. Some of the pictures were ministries that were birthed in hearts. They weren't my idea. Guys, my job is not to have ideas. My job is to equip you for God's idea. That's my job. I equip you for God's idea. And I do the best I can from His word to equip you for what God has planned for you. Right? And you know what? As He trains you, those equippings, those callings, they change, they grow, they move to different areas. I was looking at Sean and Hannah. They have moved 32 different ways in this church since we started, with good attitudes and excellent hearts. And God has seen every one of those. See? That faithfulness He blesses. And they're blessed to be blessings. And I could name everybody, EJ and Camille, Misty and Jim. I could name each one of you people doing what you're supposed to do, called and equipped, advancing His kingdom. And I'm talking about this church. Well, why is that important? Because it's the ecclesia. It's the governing body of this world. Of this world. You say, well, we got Congress, we got Senate. Oh, boy. We are the governing body. We hold the authority because we hold the power. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's the one who gives us that power. He's the one with the power. We hold it inside of us. What are we going to do with it? Are we going to fear God and keep His commands? Because that's our all. It's a responsibility, that power. It's a responsibility to come together and share your equipping with someone else. You see, God will stir an idea. Then He'll stir people to that idea. And then pretty soon you're advancing that. Pretty soon you're getting funds and things I get texts from. Praise God, right? Pretty soon these things come together and we start reaching people. And pretty soon you hear about Sam, not my Sam that I love and miss, but Sam coming to Jesus. I don't even know this Sam, but he came to Jesus through one of those ministries. Praise God. Amen? There's fruit of these things He's doing in your life with your calling. But guess what? Being plugged in to this body is what enables you to break through those gates that Satan's putting against you. And it's not just this body, but it is this body. Does that make sense? You guys understand what I'm saying? Is this making sense to y'all? See, there's been times in Sarah's and my walk where we didn't attend church for a while. It was a season. All the while I knew I was supposed to. I didn't know where. And that was a tough season, I'll be honest with you. But then you know what He did? He opened up a door to go to a place I didn't know I was supposed to go. And I cherished those 10 years we spent in the church before we started this one. I cherish those years. I learned more in that time than you can imagine. Had no idea God was going to teach me the way He did. Had no idea. But I cherish every moment. I cherish all the people that I served with advancing God's kingdom in that body. I do cherish it. It was a time and a place and an equipping time that enabled us to be right here, right now, doing what we're doing now. Understand, guys, there's different seasons. You know what I'm saying? But guess what? This is a season, and it's a critical season because guess what? The day of His return is drawing near. Let me read this. I'm going to read those scriptures in the Passion. I'm almost done. We're just starting, by the way. But I'm almost done. Let's read those in the Passion. And now we are brothers and sisters in God's family because of the blood of Jesus. And He welcomes us to come into the most holy sanctuary in the heavenly realm boldly and without hesitation. For He has dedicated a new life-giving way for us to approach God. For just as the veil was torn in two, Jesus' body was torn open to give us free and fresh access to Him. I like that. And since we now have a magnificent high priest to welcome us into God's house, we come closer to God and approach Him with an open heart, fully convinced that nothing will keep us at a distance from Him. For our hearts have been sprinkled with blood to remove impurity, and we have been freed from an accusing conscience. Now we are clean, unstained, and presentable to God inside and out. Verse 23. So now wrap your heart tightly around the hope that lives within us, knowing that God always keeps his promises. Discover creative ways to encourage others and to motivate them towards acts of compassion, doing beautiful works as expressions of love. Verse 25. This is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together, as some have formed the habit of doing. In fact, we should come together even more frequently, eager to encourage and urge each other onward as we anticipate that day of dawning. You see, like I say, guys, this is not a message, you know, steeped in guilt. Ugh, Pastor Monty said we got to come. I feel guilty. I better come. No. The Bible says we need to come together. I'm excited to come because I'm excited to be motivated. I'm excited to be loved on. I'm excited to see smiling faces ready to advance his kingdom in this region. I'm excited for see the people. Blah, 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 blah. All of it. I'm excited for that too. You see, I'm excited for people to come to Jesus. I'm excited to see lives changed. I'm excited to see chains broken and people freed up by the power of the Holy Spirit. His plan is you. His plan is the church. Be excited. When our teams are always like, oh, how are we going to do this? I always tell them, be excited. Just be excited. I don't tell them to feel excited. I say, be excited. You'll feel it later. Be excited. Because what God does is always exciting. It's always exciting. We have the creator of the universe on our side, equipping us to do everything he's called us to do. There's no gate that Satan puts in front of you that won't be broken and torn down because of whose you are and the plan he has. Does that make sense? Yes. I'm done preaching. Till next week. Come up here. Guys, it is just going to get better and better. As the world does what it's doing, it's going to get better and better for the ecclesia. Because I'm telling you, people that don't know Jesus are understanding that they need to know something. And the something is someone. And let me tell you something, that desire in them, and it may start based in fear. It probably will. It will. They'll be so scared of what's coming, they'll be looking for the truth. Well, Jesus is the truth, and they're going to find him. They're going to find him in this region because the Holy Spirit's drawing them, and there's a place for him to come and operate. And that place he operates is inside of you. Amen? Amen? Okay, let's say our confessions. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who supplies all our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. No weapon formed against me shall prosper, for my righteousness is of the Lord. But whatever I do will prosper, for I'm like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water. With what measure I meet, it is measured unto me. I sow bountifully, therefore I reap bountifully. I give cheerfully, and my God has made all grace abound toward me. And I, having all sufficiency of all things, do abound to all good works. No evil will befall me, neither shall any plague come nigh my dwelling. For you have given your angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways, and in my pathway there is life and there is no death. I am a doer of the word of God and am blessed in my deeds. I am happy in those things which I do because I'm a doer of the word of God. The word of God is forever settled in heaven. Therefore, I establish his word upon this earth.
Amen. That's good stuff. Encouraging. Encouraging because in today's world, we don't always feel like we're winning. But it's not about feelings, is it? It's about the God who has the plan, who's caring for us and leading us. What a comfort to know that we don't have to know it all. But we know the one who does, and he's going to take care of us. I'm going to speak your blessing over you. May the Lord your God, as a victorious warrior, be in your midst at all times, no matter where you are. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will be quiet in his love for you. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. May you be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. May you put on the whole armor of God, that you will be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. May the Lord your God take hold of your right hand, and may you hear him say to you, "Do not fear, I will help you." May the Lord your rock train you for war. It is he who trains you for battle. May he protect you like a strong walled city. May you never doubt how much he loves you. May he be your defender and your savior, your shield and your protection. May the Lord be a refuge for you in times of oppression, your stronghold in times of trouble. Because you know the name of the Lord, you can confidently put your trust in him. For the Lord has never forsaken those who seek him. May you be blessed with the love and kindness of the Lord. May the Lord endow you with the wisdom to carry out every assignment he has given you. May the Lord send an angel ahead of you to guard you along your way, and may he bring you to the place he has prepared for you. May you be strengthened with all power according to God's glorious might, so that you have great endurance and patience. Blessed be the God, the only ruler, the King of all kings, and the Lord of all lords. May honor and power belong to God forever.
You know, again, in the scripture it says we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. Well, if we're not ignorant, let's not act ignorant. Meaning, you know, we know the enemy's going to come against you, going to tell you lies, going to try to thwart the calling God has for you. Understand that. That's going to happen. You know how people tell me that they had to quit coming here because they're being attacked too much? I heard that. And I thought, praise God, it's okay. But you're going to be attacked because you're a threat. Okay? But you're equipped for every good work. You're fully equipped. You have the full armor of God. What do you think that does? Enables you to go through the attack and get out on the other side. On the other side. On the other side. Because you're fully equipped, right? We weren't called to be saved and then just sit on the sidelines eating donuts and hoping someone else gets saved. We're here to take ground. And in taking ground, there's some giants that need to be slain. He's taught us how to war. He's trained our hands for battle. But the way we do battle is the way he tells us to, right? We operate by the power of the Holy Spirit doing battle. And guys, if you're here in this region, if you live in this region, you're going to encounter battle. You will. It's a tough spot. It's a fantastic spot. It's worth fighting for. Satan wouldn't be after it so bad if it wasn't an anointed place with people who need to know Jesus, who are going to walk in the fullness of that freedom as they know Christ. God's put the people together, interconnections, put people in positions of authority. We need to pray for those people as they're led by the Holy Spirit inside of them, doing the things God's told them to do. Let's encourage each other, right? I mean, again, guys, if we only knew the extent of the good plan he has for you, you'd jump up and start dancing right now. You would, if you had any idea. You know, the scriptures say, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see. This is the truth. This is the word of God. He loves you. He cares for you. He's got a good plan for you. There is no weapon formed against you that will prosper. It will be formed. The weapon will be formed against you. It's not going to prosper. Because your right standing is of him, right? Walk in that right standing, fully equipped. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for these people, Father. Bless each and every one, Father. Bless the ministry you've stirred in their hearts, Father. Bless the purposes and the plan, Father. Father, give them sensitivity by the power of your Holy Spirit to walk out that plan in fullness, Father, knowing that you always keep your promises. Your promises are yes and amen. So be it. You know the end from the beginning, Father. And we thank you for walking us out in that plan. Just walking it out. Bless each and every one here, Father. Bless them with peace as they go about their week, Father. You continue to give us. Lead us in that, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, if you need prayer, come up here. We're going to agree with you on a promise. See.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton. For more information, check out our website at www.lighthouseraton.com or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/lighthouseraton. Please join us in person at 10 a.m. Sunday mornings at our new location, 1310 South 2nd Street in Raton, New Mexico. You can support the Lighthouse Radio Ministry by giving online at www.lighthouseraton.com or send a check to 1310 South 2nd Street, Raton, New Mexico, 87740. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness. I will follow you. My lighthouse, I will trust the promise. You will carry me safe to shore.